James. Welcome to the Sorry You're in My Seat podcast. I'm your host, Aaron, and I'm joined each and every week by my good buddy, Sam.
Hello.
And James.
Hello. Shut up, James.
How are we doing?
Yeah, good, man. All good.
Episode 5.
Oh, yeah, it's coming on well.
It is. Yeah. It's been a joy to sit in this room with you for the last 5 weeks.
James, 5 weeks ago, did you think at this point we'd be sat here with 300 odd listens to our podcast?
No, I thought we'd be sat here still unable to send them out into the world.
We have gone worldwide though, boys. We've got listens in Romania, Spain, USA and other, but it won't tell me what other is.
Other.
Well, with the next big thing in other.
Yes. I'm ready to go to space now with these podcasts.
Yep.
The first podcast ever to make it to Mars.
Yeah. I bet there is already one on Mars.
I was going to say, I bet there is as well.
Either way, it's probably Kevin Smith one.
Yeah, definitely.
So I'm happy to go there if needs to be. Yeah, it's great. I think we're doing really, really good and I'm enjoying it. Everyone's feedback seems to be really good.
Yep, good feedback.
Again, we have to give mad props to our community, which is very vocal, and we thank them for their ongoing support.
Thank you all.
No heckled abuse or violence yet.
That's not. So I was coming out of work the other day and this car drove past me at speed.
I know this.
Stopped, put on his brakes. I was like, oh no, I'm about to get mugged. Reversed. Then I heard my own dulcet tones coming from the car. And then this bald Scottish man was in the car and just pointed at me.
It was Chips.
And it was Chips.
There we go. Brilliant. Brilliant. So we've made it to Sainsbury's car park.
Yeah, we've made it to Sainsbury's car park. Which
not
is,
quite Mars,
which
is,
you know, what, 3 minutes from here?
Yeah. So. Good. Right. Last week's episode, a big one, 1 hour 45.
Yeah, wow. Mm. Yeah,
it was lessons to be learned.
Keep it,
make it longer.
Under an hour 45.
Yeah, we're going to try and keep this one under an hour or as close to an hour. But if the conversation is going in good flow, then we will keep going as we always do.
Absolutely.
But obviously, we're still finding our feet with the format of the show. This week as well, we're not going to go too much into films. And each week, I think we have to start by saying that this week could be someone's first week and might not know what this show is about. So the Sorry You're In My Seat podcast is a podcast dedicated to film, movie, cinema, any format or medium that you get your weekly intake of film, really. And we sit around each week, we discuss things we like, things we don't like, problems with films, suggestions for films, stuff like that.
Mm, yes.
Yeah, completely agree. This week, we're trying a different format.
Yes.
It's our first ever game.
Well, it's our second game. It's
the Hungry Games, boys. Come on, it's the Hungry Games.
So we're going to do a battle royale. That's the main event, and we're going to get to that as soon as possible. I wanted to kick off the show with just a few bits of news, actually. Mm. First and foremost, you will be pleased to know you two sat around this table and our 300-plus listeners, which is growing by the day.
It's growing by the second, apparently.
Yeah. Brigsby Beer is on Now TV.
Yes. So people need to watch that
There's
film.
No excuse now not to hunt down a copy of Brigsby Beer. It's on Now TV. I found it the other night. I had to go back the next day because I had a few beers to make sure that I wasn't hallucinating. It is on there, which is brilliant. So do check out Brigsby Beer. So that's nice and short, nice and quick. Have you seen the Deadpool scene that they've released?
The deleted scene? The deleted one that's coming in the upcoming Blu-ray and DVD. Yes.
Yeah, so don't say what it is just yet. Have you heard of this?
Nope.
So to hear that a scene was cut from Deadpool, you're thinking, okay, this might be pretty serious.
Is this Deadpool 2?
Deadpool 2.
Yeah, I've still not seen that. So.
Oh, right. Okay, so do you mind a spoiler in the very end?
No, not at all.
So again, if you haven't seen Deadpool 2, it has been out for a few weeks, so shame on you, like Sam.
Shame on me.
But let's just cut to the ending. So Cable in it is a time-traveling superhero from the future. At the end of the film, Deadpool does get his hands on the time-traveling device. And what ensues is the post-credit scenes, some hilarity, essentially, of Deadpool going across various timelines. Not going to give away them because I think it's a beautiful thing when you see him for the first time because they are genuinely some of the funniest bits in the movie. Him going to different scenes in, let's say, other films and sorting them out. It's brilliant. Awesome. But there was a deleted one. So do you know what the deleted scene is?
I've read a quick synopsis on it today.
I've seen it.
Oh, have you seen it? I've only read about it.
So he's sorting out timelines.
Okay.
And it cuts to a scene, you know, cast is going up, cuts to a scene of Deadpool in a, it's a room full of newborn babies in their little incubators.
Okay.
And he goes up to one and he's like, he's just looking over this paper and he's like, come on, man, do it for the team, do it. And he's like, obviously kind of contemplating his decisions. He's like, oh no, I can't. Yes, you can. And then the camera zooms away, it says Adolf Hitler at the bottom of it.
Oh, mate.
And you think, oh, just for that to have been cut from Deadpool, essentially, there were no barriers in that film, in the first or second one.
Yeah.
It's quite interesting that it did get deleted.
You get it though.
It's done with jest. Yeah, and
there would have been backlash from that.
I suppose the argument could have been, well, if you're going to do that, you could go for Hitler at 18, Hitler at 20. Yeah. You could have gone at a more appropriate, time. But interesting to think that even a film like Deadpool had some form of censorship involved in it.
So for our avid listeners, that's Dwayne The Rock Johnson's come up in all 4 podcasts and now Hitler twice. So, you know, Hitler in a close second.
Yes.
So,
well, yeah, my brother's coming on in a few weeks. So Hitler like a might get brought up a bit more because he's a war buff and he's a war cinema kind of enthusiast. So maybe that'll happen.
Well, just quickly then for your last one then, James, because I mentioned this to you the other day. I counted and in a couple of episodes ago, James said the word potato 17 times.
And I'm still unsure why.
Yeah. You said the word quantum 12 times in the last podcast. So let's just hope that isn't beaten by your brother saying Hitler many times. Well,
I think Hitler would probably be the better of the words that he could say, though. So.
But quantum, that was definitely because I was talking about Ant-Man and the Wasp.
You did say quantum. Yeah. I counted him.
Because there's no way.
That's what he does. He just counts words in the podcast. Boobs and gore and counting words.
There's no way I'd say quantum on a normal day. I've got no need to say that. In any sentence whatsoever.
Blow your mind, mate. Quantum potatoes. Blown.
Let's not merge those two together. Last point. The two Chris's apparently have walked away from the Star Trek franchise. That's Chris Hemsworth and Chris Pine.
Why?
So apparently they're...
I know in the third one, so in the original, not in the original, in the 2009 one, Chris Hemsworth played his father, and there was talk of a time-traveling aspect in the next film.
Right.
Which is the premise of the fourth one. So the third film, the one with Idris Elba in it, Star Trek Beyond, didn't bring in the money that I think they anticipated for the franchise.
It was disappointing because I'm a huge fan of Idris Elba and anything that gives him a platform, I'm always a big fan of.
It was difficult because Into Darkness, the one with Benedict Cumberbatch.
I do really like that one.
Yeah.
That was brilliant.
And just for reference, Benedict Cumberbatch, if his surname, I've said this 100 times, but for the listeners, his surname really should be Cumberland because Benedict Cumberland means that his name would be Eggs and Sausages.
Yep.
Would be a much better name.
Oh dear.
But the Star Trek franchise, what's happened is because they lost so much money in the third film or what they anticipate they were going to earn, what it's looking like is they asked the two actors to take a pay cut in the fourth episode and it looks like their agents are unhappy with said pay cut.
I think Chris Pine did a really good job. As a fan of the original series and the original movies, he does a really good, a version of William Shatner's character in a different timeline. And I think it probably can't survive without him, so I think it might be done.
Yeah, but then I suppose if you're going to say to big actors, can you take less money? You can't blame him for going,
It does happen, though. You've got to make... I'm not going to miss it too much, to be fair. On TV, they're going for a big rejuvenation. For example, the new series of Star Trek they're making is going to bring back Patrick Stewart.
Yes.
So... And I'm a huge fan of Patrick Stewart in most things that he does. So again, whilst the movies might be finished, there's still a medium. It will still survive. It will still live on. So I'm quite happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. In my opinion, what I want to know is how good the script is. Because I think first and foremost, if it's a good script, it's a good story, it's disappointing that those two in the fourth installment are willing to walk away. If it's a good script. Because I think first and foremost, if you're in a Star Wars franchise or a Star Trek franchise, any of those... You owe it to the fans first and foremost. And therefore, I think if this finishes that saga of film,
yeah,
I don't know, because again, the money thing to me doesn't really matter, because I would never earn the money that these guys earn in one film, let alone in my entire life of working.
Yeah, I suppose.
So money to me isn't good enough to say, they're cutting, you know, half my money or whatever it is, because that's still a ridiculous amount. But I get it that they are businessmen. They are their own brand. For them both to walk away, we suggest a substantial pay cut.
Substantial pay cut, or just a big pay cut for a bad script.
Mm. Bearing in mind that the proposed script did centre around those two characters as well.
Significant parts in both of them. And also Chris Pine is doing really well, obviously, with the Wonder Woman franchise. He's back on set for Wonder Woman 2. Not sure how that's going to work. So maybe he's thinking, I've got a franchise to be involved in.
You see, I don't like that. Because I really liked that aspect of Wonder Woman.
I love that aspect of Wonder Woman.
I would like to talk about that at a future date, but I'd liked that. I feel kind of cheated if he appears in another film.
Mm. Well, there's the stuff I just wanted to fluff the start of it. I found these bits out the other day and I thought it was just quite interesting. Before we get on to the main event, the Battle Royale, I do have a more serious pressing matter.
Oh, no.
This podcast is a good opportunity to vent and to discuss personal life and things that are, you know, obviously very serious. And I've got a serious thing to talk about, boys.
Do you need a cuddle, mate?
This might end up in cuddle territory.
What's up?
I'm just going to come out and say it because I think there's no other way of doing it. Sometimes you just got to rip off, you know, the plaster and just get on with it.
Okay.
I think I'm breaking up with the Dark Knight.
What is wrong with you?
Explain yourself.
I mean, it's not Dark Knight, it's me. To start
well,
with.
Yeah, it sounds like it, definitely.
Dark Knight can change. It doesn't have to be the end.
Need to change.
Maybe some time away will bring us closer together. I don't know. I don't know.
How many times are you watching this film a week?
I've seen it quite a few times.
Okay.
There may be someone else on the scene.
You? Oh. Oh, okay.
I'm not saying grass is green. I'm just saying I watched Logan at the weekend.
Which version?
The noir version.
Noir.
Oh, okay.
Now, it's not as good as the colour version, but it was an interesting watch. I think I'm in Logan's camp.
You're the only one. You broke my heart.
Dark Knight is a great film. Dark Knight is an incredible film. Everyone loves Dark Knight. Logan is personal, though, I reckon. Logan, first and foremost, is an amazing film if you watch it. It's graphic. It's got a great storyline. But to me, like, just watching Hugh Jackman portray Wolverine in the best way possible in that finale, I saw the X-Men films when I was like, I think I was 12 when I saw the first one.
Mm.
I've watched this incarnation of this character all this time. And to watch it is a brilliant film. God, it's so graphic and gory, but then sensitive. And it's a Western and it's like an indie film and it's layered with themes and stuff. And I get that Dark Knight is a brilliant film and you got the, you know, all the Joker stuff. But I don't know. I don't know whether it's just because it's new.
Maybe. I mean, I love Logan. I thought Logan was fantastic. But James,
I dropped a pen. I do apologize.
Juggling pens.
I'm sorry.
It's
the shock of this.
Well, to be fair, I walked out of Logan with a gripe. I didn't walk out of.
Ooh, what was your gripe with Logan?
Too sweary.
Not well.
Yes, that's definitely a sound problem. It's too sweary.
It was. It was that. I think it was that first scene with Patrick Stewart when he's in the barn or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
He was just swearing for the sake of swearing. Like, to me, they're like, right, we need to make this R-rated, so let's just bang a load of swear words in. That could have been done better if you asked me. He could have swore without swearing as much as he did. And this is coming from me, James, who swears all the time, but I thought the rest of it was fine. It was just that one scene just felt really forced. But I didn't walk away with Dark Knight.
I've been put in a horrible situation here because I kind of agree with Sam, which very rarely happens. But, I'm going to play both sides here.
Mm.
In Logan, I don't remember coming out of the cinema thinking there was like a 20-minute gap, like in most movies, that kind of bores me. You know, it kind of resets the story.
Yeah.
When Batman goes to Hong Kong to get the businessman, that 20 minutes did kind of lose me.
And I think as well, Batman at the end of that film, the Joker bit, when they use the sonar from all the mobile phones to locate Joker, cool, bit of a good action scene. Great dialogue when the Joker's spinning upside down. But as a finale, compare that to Logan when he is going berserker.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Running through the woods when he's like injecting himself with that serum. and he's taking out guards left, right, and centre in the most vicious,
it's badass,
animalistic way. Yeah. Watch the behind the scenes of Hugh Jackman doing the voiceover of the grunting and stuff, where he's in the sound booth doing all the yelling. It's insane the amount of effort he puts into that role.
Really?
And to me, it boils down to Christian Bale versus Hugh Jackman in the two performances. And I was in absolute awe of watching Logan the other night.
I love the film. I think it's out of this world.
I think one of the best point about The Dark Knight, I've always said, has been the supporting cast. The supporting cast is pretty phenomenal. Morgan Freeman, Gary Oldman, you know, they're all layered characters and they all act brilliantly. But actually, the more Aaron talks, the more I think about Patrick Stewart, who obviously plays the most powerful mutant in the world with Alzheimer's, and it's a really good spin on it. Like, he's losing control of his powers. There's a scene in the motel where he's deteriorating and his powers have gone haywire. I love that scene. I think that's phenomenal.
Yeah. It's what happens when the world's most powerful mind, you know, and he gets affected by something as human as dementia and such, and Alzheimer's. And that bit as well, just the bit when they're in the motel and they're watching Shane on the television, you know where that film is ending, you know, because Patrick Stewart is telling you, you know, the hero, there's no living with a killing. He even says it out loud. And I was like, oh, I just loved it. And it's 2.5 hours long, and it did not feel 2.5 hours long.
No, as I remember you said, walking out that thinking, yeah, that felt quick.
And I tell you what, that ending as well, where she turns the crossover and she changes it to the X.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, and the score has this real haunting, kind of like offbeat piano keys all the way through it until he dies. And then the sonnet almost is complete. And it's, you know, it's that kind of symbolism of his final rest and stuff. Because, I was like, this is insane. Now, I'll probably watch Dark Knight next week and be like, boys, Dark Knight is the greatest film you've ever seen.
But I think I'll sit down and watch Logan this
week. Watching Dark Knight this week. I come at it the other end. Yeah. And I just think, I don't know, the storyline, and maybe it's something to do with Heath Ledger and getting the Oscar. And now there's always this talk of, did he deserve it? Or was it, you know?
Oh, he 100% deserved it.
And he 100% deserved it. And I just think, performance of a lifetime, the great supporting cast, a storyline that I quite liked. And you've got to remember, the storyline at the time as well was actually quite, at the time, the US government was accused of spying on people, and that's how Batman does it. So he does it, but for the right reasons. Everything was interwoven. It was brilliant. I do like Logan. I still got to give it to The Dark Knight.
Yeah, you know, it's still not got for everyone.
We'll come around this week. We'll get pizza and watch Logan and have a movie chat.
Remember episode one, I said I was more of an indie film fan as well.
Absolutely.
And to me, Logan is just that. And you know, that kind of full circle ends the story absolutely perfectly. Brilliant. I'll rewatch him as well. I think I might. But we'll see how that goes. Right.
Although that said, soon Infinity Wars will be released on DVD, like in the coming weeks. So maybe there'll be another one.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
Main event. Battle Royale. So what we're going to do this week is we are going to go against each other in terms of who would make our ultimate squad, in terms of pulling characters from films that you may have seen or may not have seen to create your ultimate lineup. Jukes, you have the list of who you have to have in your squad.
I've got it in front of me.
Okay, so this is who you need, 6 members of your team.
So we need a leader. We need muscle.
Or slash gunner type thing.
Gunner slash. Your tech guy or gal. Assassin. Wild card and water boy.
Yes.
Oh, it's got, right, it says water boy. Yes, water boy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Change that medic to water
boy. I've written medic. Despite the fact being told twice, it was water boy.
All week we've been plotting who we're going to put in our lineup. We're going to go against each other. The format will go as follows. James will start by saying his first character. Sam will challenge, then I'll challenge, and we'll have a few second debate about who wins. I say a few seconds before we talk about the first one for an hour.
Yeah.
And then what we'll do is we'll score each one at 6. If it comes to a tie break, we have a scenario. Now, the only thing that wasn't planned up until now was what scenario have we put this squad together. So this isn't necessarily a mercenary team. This isn't necessarily a hostage situation. I've actually created 6 scenarios, which we will do at the end. So after you've said who your team is, we'll then find out actually what, you know, blind, you've done this blind, you didn't actually know what the scenario was.
Yeah.
So we'll pick that at the very end. These two boys have been privy to my sick ideas in terms of what them six ideas
and we've
are.
We've heard about 2 of your films so far. So
if anyone's a frequent listener, this is 6 new ideas for the Aaron film catalogue that I'm piloting. They're all spliced films. So let's get started. We're going to go with the very first round, which is
we need team names and stuff first, really, don't we?
Oh, have you got a team name?
Yeah. I've got a team name, mate. I've got outfits, team names. I've got an outfit. I've got a theme tune.
Oh, okay. What's your got then?
Did you not pick any?
No, but I'll make it up really quick.
Right, okay. So, I'm going to start off with the name.
Yeah.
The Digits of Doom.
Okay.
Like it.
Obviously, would have made more sense if there were just five members, but, you know, some people have six fingers. So, all-inclusive team. Mm.
Okay.
It's got a theme.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ruin that for you, but I've picked this theme music based on the fact that this is also a type of psychological torture. And my theme music is Rebecca Black's Friday.
Love it.
So,
oh, no.
I've even got my theme tune working for me on my team. Oh, and my team, like all our team should be, black spandex.
Nice.
Nothing else but black spandex.
Yeah.
Okay, so my team name is the Strategic Tactical Division, or STD for short.
Oh my God, Sam's actually holding up a logo.
I've made a logo, so that's...
There is an actual logo.
It's a skull with STD tattooed on its forehead.
I love that.
You should get that tattoo.
Absolutely.
It just makes it look like you've got a severe case of syphilis.
Obviously, the outfit will be a thick latex-based overall. I obviously slightly lubricated, just for protection. And I will show you after we've done this. I did have a friend draw me some of these characters up wearing a latex outfit with lubrication.
When they put the outfit on, did they have to pinch the top?
Yes, you did. Just to get it over the head. And the theme song, just because we mentioned it the other day, is, you know, the Nine Inch Nails song from Wanted, is it called Every Day's Exactly the Same?
Yeah, yeah.
Just because that song is awesome. And I think it's badass. If everyone has to walk in slow motion whilst it's on there.
Yeah.
Sam with his STD.
Yeah, so that's STD, boys.
Great stuff.
So, what's your name, Aaron?
Top Huns.
Top Huns.
And we'll have the theme would be Danger Zone from Top Gun.
Oh, nice.
And my team's outfit is completely naked. Because when you hear these names, imagine them running at you naked with Velcro shoes.
Ooh, nice. Ain't tripping over there, are you?
Exactly.
Oh, I didn't think of shoes. Probably thick combat boots with their black lycra.
Right. Cool. All right, so let's get going then. We'll go with round one, which is going to be the leader round. So round one.
Okay, so the Digits of Doom, the leader has to be the thumb, the most important part.
Who is your thumb?
My thumb... Alan Rickman from 1988's Die Hard, it's Hans Gruber.
Ooh, nice. Aaron just bit his lip there.
I'm not saying
Other ones, just so you know, the other one that I was possibly toying with, Simon Phoenix from Demolition Man, but I went with Hans Gruber, and when we discuss it, you'll find out why.
Okay. I picked Winston Wolfe from Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
Because, let's be honest, he tells you exactly what to do when you do it without questioning.
Gandalf the Grey.
Gandalf
the Grey. I'll tell you why.
Okay.
He didn't just set up a platoon, Gorge. He set up a fellowship of people.
And also,
and when we're going to go for headcount of who dies in each of these films, bar Sean Bean, who dies in every film, let's be honest, no one saved Sean Bean since the 90s. He did a pretty good job of getting all them guys to finish the mission. Now, you tell me about Alan Rickman, how many of them guys survived?
Right. I'm just gonna throw some... You want some logic, but I'll throw some logic at you. Gandalf the Grey died in the first film, was Gandalf the White in the other two. Boom! Gandalf the Grey, down!
I haven't finished yet.
Oh, okay, well, maybe I'll just retort.
Because originally, he was actually going to be my tech wizard. And Gandalf the White was going to be my tech wizard. But I've got a secondary, so I'll put the secondary in. Right, Gandalf the light white. Yes.
Tartan.
I think my guy actually had a squad, and he gave him orders, and he got him going. And I think he's a good choice. I like Winston Wolfe. Winston Wolfe's a good idea.
Right, so the reason I've gone Hans Gruber is because Hans Gruber had a plan. Mm. He executed that plan properly. The only thing that went wrong is something he couldn't plan for, which is the very, very difficult dynamics of an American marriage. He couldn't plan for John McClane to be there.
That's true.
He couldn't foresee this marriage breaking down and they're reconnecting. Everything would have worked had John McClane not been there.
But John
McClane
was there.
Yeah, but that, I'm just saying, it's the one thing he couldn't plan on. And so, you know, everything was successful. He tricked two federal agencies, screwed the FBI, got his money, Got his suit from John Phillips. He's very happy.
You sound like a desperate man on the ropes here, James.
I'm not desperate. Well, I'm not having...
This so is... the problem is, what are you going to do if one of us have John McClane in our team?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Have you got John McClane in your team? Let's find
I'll
out.
I'll beat all of that. Wizardry skills.
Where does he buy his suits?
He doesn't really wear a suit.
Exactly. No one will respect him.
It's like a dressing gown. And
he
a
just
hat.
He just
and
plays
now he's
with
wearing nothing but Velcro shoes.
Yes,
he just plays
a naked Gandalf the Grey slash white. He's leading my team. All right, but let's leave it there. Okay. We might even put this out to the listeners to see who chooses. But
Gandalf the Grey, Hans Gruber.
No, sure, have it.
Winter's the Wolves a very smart choice.
It was a smart choice.
It makes me think that you didn't pick it.
No, it's only because I would never have picked it if we weren't watched
it. Yeah,
we
watched it the other day and I did remember thinking, God, he's a good character, isn't
he? Yeah, he's brilliant.
Yeah. Right, let's go with Heavy Gunner, round two. James.
I've gone Famke Janssen in 1995's Goldeneye. It's Xena Onatopp.
Never seen it.
Does she get squeezed between two trees in that?
No, yeah, she does.
So she dies to wildlife.
Yeah, but have you picked wildlife? Has anyone picked trees?
If I'm convinced.
If he goes trees. Have you really gone trees? You haven't gone
I haven't picked trees, no.
Famke Janssen is a good choice. She's a great actress. Yes. Brilliant in Goldeneye.
And also, she can do it all. Mm. Other ones, obviously, that I was going to pick was Predator. But, you know, Predator gets outsmarted by, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Mr. Freeze.
Yeah.
That would never happen to Onatopp.
No.
Just trees, mate. Just trees and rope.
So, earlier when I told you this character was grey, Marv, Sin City.
Oh,
good
choice.
Because let's be honest, he is hard as.
A lot of muscles, a lot of plasters on his face.
He does not mess about. And he gets confused, mate. When he gets confused, he's having you.
He likes a drink.
He does like a drink. I'd drink with him.
I'd drink with Marv, yeah. I like Marv.
I think he'd kill me. I couldn't keep up with that.
The problem is, I don't really see Mr. Wolf telling Marv what to do.
No.
I did think about this, but I thought I might
have
it anyway.
That's why I think it's going to let a lot of people down. I've gone for, like, cohesion. So
is that the theme you keep telling us about? Cohesion?
No, it's cohesion. So not no, yes.
I'm about to drop bombs, boys. Chuck Norris.
Ooh. Boom. In what?
In Dodgeball, where he played Chuck Norris. I knew you were going to come back with that. I was going to go with, what's his name? James Braddle, or whatever he is, from MIA, Mission in Action.
He also plays Chuck Norris in the film called Sidekicks, which is bloody awful.
Yeah. I'm going as Chuck Norris, as Chuck Norris.
I can't argue that.
Well, there are some facts. Chuck Norris once slammed a revolving door. Chuck Norris once counted to infinity. Twice. Chuck Norris is badass. I cannot believe no one else picked Chuck Norris.
No,
I'm not going to say it because I don't want the internet to wait me.
I'm not. Like, Marv ain't going to beat him, is he?
This is going to be the hardest one. This is the hardest one. So let's go for round three then. Tech Wizard. James.
I've gone from the Terminator films, I've gone to Skynet. So not the Terminator, the program that runs all the Terminators throughout all the Terminator films, Skynet.
Bold,
but also it tricks the humans into dropping bombs on each other.
Yes.
So it gets its enemy to wipe itself out. Mm. And then not only that, it creates time travel to go back. Mm. So, you know, even if I lose this, I'll just get Skynet to do that and I'll just change and get Chuck Norris in my team. Boom.
I mean, the thing with Skynet is, though, can't you defeat it by turning it off and on?
Probably. or Windows 10 update. Yeah.
It ruined everything.
Yeah. What happens if you've got no Wi-Fi?
What have you picked?
We'll get to mine. We'll get to mine.
I picked Shuri from Black Panther.
Good choice. Good choice.
Because she is awesome.
Yeah.
There's nothing more to it. She is just wicked.
She's the best thing in that film, I thought.
The best thing in that film. I enjoyed Black Panther, wasn't a massive fan, but to me, she was one of the standout characters.
Not saying it.
Good choice.
Not saying it.
She's really, really, really good. Isn't
she's good as Skynet, though.
So you can't turn her off and on.
But you can.
I went with Trinity from The Matrix.
Do you know what I was thinking? Okay. I was thinking Trinity, but it doesn't follow the theme.
Yeah, because this would be your middle finger, Skynet.
Yeah. I would also like to point out the other ones I picked were possibly HAL from, you know, Space Odyssey.
Yeah, I was thinking.
So I just basically any form of AI,
yeah.
Because I didn't actually put Trinity. My second choice was just The Matrix. Yeah. Just all of them.
I originally had Cyborg, and then I went, I'm quite happy with my team, and Aaron said, no superheroes. And I was like,
Yeah, the rule with this was no superheroes, because if anyone puts Superman, then unless you've got someone who's got Kryptonite.
Unless you've got Gandalf. Or Chuck Norris.
Gandalf's not a superhero.
How much would you have loved Lord of the Rings if Chuck Norris was playing Gandalf?
Yeah.
Gandalf the Norris. Just, he's fine.
Trinity, hacker, you know, she's kind of really badass, you know, at that time, you know, in them films. She also, to go against you two, if it come down to frontline service, she could fire a gun.
Skynet can create Terminators to do it.
Did you not see?
Not mate. If one of these scenarios, we're not on Earth, mate. So if Skynet's
right, so you've Skynet can travel in time, but can't travel in space. No. Skynet's everywhere, mate.
No,
Skynet.
You've seen Shuri fight, mate.
Yeah. To be fair, I think I'm winning on the other two, so I don't mind. Fight amongst yourselves. Fight for scraps.
I win.
That is really hard because Skynet is really clever, but I don't know. Let's keep going and then we'll see the overall theme. There might be a clear winner, I don't know. Silent Assassin was round four. So, Silent Assassin.
You went for not silent, didn't you?
I just went for Assassin.
No, it's silent, mate.
No, I know, but I still think I'm going to do pretty well here.
Mm.
So, my Assassin, Javier Bardem in 2007's No Country for Old Men.
Good choice.
Anton with his... which, you know, everyone who's seen that film knows what that noise means.
The cow killer.
Never seen it again.
That's
homework for you, boy.
He's one of the best villains of all time.
Yeah.
I love that choice. That's probably my best choice. And rewatching that film this week was fantastic.
I'm sorry to whoop your butt when it comes to me, Sam.
I chose.
If you think I know who you've picked.
Who?
Leon.
No.
Oh. Is it?
I would have been Goodman.
Is it John Goodman? Because that picture the other day. It was one of the two.
I chose Wesley Gibson, James McAvoy in Wanted.
Good choice.
Because let's be honest, mate, he can bend bullets.
He can. Well, he can bend the path that a bullet takes.
Well, whatever he does.
He does it well.
Whatever he does, he did it. I did watch that this week, which is also why I picked the 90s Now song. But, mate, that shot that he takes at the end to kill what's his chops?
I think you'll find his name's Mr. Chops.
Sorry, Mr. What's his Chops?
Morgan Freeman?
Yeah, I forgot. I was going to say Morgan Freeman, but then I decided to go for the character name, and then I nearly said Fox, but that's Mrs. That's... What's his Chops.
Good choice. Yeah, we were talking about the other day. It's a good film, that. Yeah. Really good film. I'm going to have to revisit that one. That was a graphic novel as well, wasn't it?
It was indeed.
Did they do a sequel?
No. I don't know. There was talk for ages. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, there wasn't one.
Assassin, The Bride, Kill Bill.
She was on my list, but no. So was Lucy Liu from that film as well. She was on my list.
Look at The Bride's hit list. Took out Lucy Liu by scapula. Took out Michael Madsen with a snake. Took out Daryl Hannah's eyeball. Slapped a guy's chest 5 times and blew his heart up. Also took on half the Yakuza and killed a schoolgirl with a bolly knocker.
Yeah, but does she take
on... Was it silent?
Well, she did it pretty quiet because she was wearing them trainers. And also, she pulls off yellow.
But just remember, she won't be wearing them trainers. She'll be wearing
Velcro
shoes, mate. So
none of us are silent. the Bride, yeah. Because she was an actual assassin.
So was
Wesley Gibson.
So was Javier Bardem.
Javier Bardem wasn't an assassin. He was a psychopath.
Who used his powers for assassin? Yeah, get back in your role.
Yeah, I still think a samurai sword is silenter though than a...
No, it's not.
...than a cow.
No, because if...
You even did an impression of it.
Yeah, but you've got two metal things slamming against each other. This is going to public, but I'm not having this. This is bullocks.
The Bride. She takes out a whole Yakuza clan in one scene.
Javier Bardem. The Bride. No other words.
The Bride
gets his chops.
The Bride gets shotgunned in the chest, buried alive, and crawls out.
You're going to starve at these Hungry Games.
And she's that good that she had two films, all right? Javier Bardem didn't.
He didn't need one.
Oh, did he not?
He didn't need one. Because he only needed one movie, mate.
There's still time. We've got the two big hitters yet. We've got Wildcard and then Waterboy. And if it isn't a clean sweep so far for me, these next two are going to absolutely nail it. I came with Smack Talk and I'm ready to go. Let's go for round 5 then, boys. Wild card. James.
Heath Ledger, 2008 Dark Knight, The Joker.
Don't you dare bring that to this table.
I thought about The Joker. I mean, he's a wild card.
He's the ultimate wild card. Mm. No one knows. So this is where the cohesion in the team goes, because that's why Simon Phoenix didn't get the job as leader.
Yeah.
Because they'd be too crazy. Hans Gruber's going to use him.
So what's your definition of wild card then?
Everything. Everything. I don't know. It could do anything, but you need that power. The untapped potential of what could happen.
Stop that right there, because you're bigging up my character. Sam?
Yeah, mine's not as wild as the Joker, but nearly there. Charlie Wax from Paris with Love.
Good character.
That is John a good
Travolta.
Choice, yeah.
Good character. If you've not seen From Paris with Love, John Travolta, God, what a film.
I know.
Brilliant film.
Which is weird, because I didn't even watch that one this week. As soon as you said wild card, I was like, did it come much wilder?
Yeah, he was really
the
good.
The Joker. And whatever Aaron's got.
Now.
Here we go.
Bear with me, because you'll think he's not wild, but just wait till we get to it. Luke Skywalker.
No.
Explain.
Is he really there? You don't know. Because he's got wizardry skills like Gandalf, so they'll get on really well. He's got powers of unknown potential. Your exact words, James. So don't you dare look at me like that, like a...
I just imagine a naked Luke Skywalker meeting naked Gandalf going, oh, wizard.
Exactly.
Wizardry skills. Oh,
exactly.
I like you.
And you might need a lightsaber.
Everyone needs a lightsaber.
Exactly.
And Star Wars. Just Star Wars.
Oh, boys, I've got this in the bag. I'm telling you, I've got this. I don't hear any confidence from you two. Come on.
Well, I don't know, because I think I've already won. So,
Luke Skywalker
as a wild card.
Yeah, yeah. Because also, as we found out earlier in the original script, he was meant to turn to the...
He was supposed to turn to the dark side.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wild.
I agree.
And also, he drinks blue milk. No one knows what that's got in it.
What? That's it. Because we don't know what kind of milk he drinks.
Exactly.
Personally, I don't think you're winning on that one, mate.
It's Luke Skywalker. It's Star Wars.
Yeah,
it wins
I know.
Everything.
You can't just say the word Star Wars. Normally, in any other...
Wait a minute. Skynet was in Star Wars. I win.
But you're ganging up on me now, because I'm blatantly... I've already won with Chuck Norris, so I don't know why we're even still talking. Right, I've definitely got you with the next one then. Last round.
Yeah, you probably have.
Waterboy.
So I picked my Waterboy. Is good with hydration because she's in the medical profession, so she knows what to do. But
because
also,
she was originally a medic.
Yeah, but she...
when James thought you had to have a medic on you,
yeah, which would have made more sense than Waterboy.
It would have, but we.
But I'd like to point out that my Waterboy can come on, get you hydrated, and then also look after your niggles and whatnot. Okay. It's Nurse Ratched, Louise Fletcher, in 1975's One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Unbelievable.
The theme was bad, guys. If you didn't quite get that. Bad guys.
And gals.
So, yes. Nurse Ratched.
Easy round, then. It's between you and me, Sam.
Yeah, what's the problem with Nurse Ratched? Unbelievable.
I've only got 1 point for mine. I'll say who and then the 1 point why you want him.
Yep.
Poe Dameron.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want the water dropped off by an X-Wing?
Exactly. Very good choice. I mean, he was in... What film was he in?
Star Wars,
yeah. He was in Star Wars, wasn't he?
He was in Star Wars, mate, yeah. And not only that, he's dropped the water off, you've got an ex-fighter above you.
Are you
yes,
science?
Yes, but this person's got an understanding of the human brain. So you can't discount psychology.
Yes, but she doesn't understand Skynet, James.
I have you used science for my choice for Waterboy?
Is it Skynet?
Nope.
Science doesn't always win.
SpongeBob SquarePants. He's a sponge. He carries water. Literally.
I concede. I'll concede that one.
He's porous. He's a sponge.
Why are you still arguing the point? You've won. I'll accept that.
No, I'm not letting you win that.
I don't care. He lives on the pineapple under the sea.
He's the very definition of carrying water.
And you literally just said... Could be in space, mate.
Oh!
What then? And he dries out. He's just a sponge then. Have you ever seen a dried out SpongeBob? I have. It's not nice, mate.
well, let's see where the scenario is. I think I've Chuck Norris and SpongeBob SquarePants on the same team with a naked Gandalf. I think I've won this.
No, I don't think you have.
I'm just saying it. Chuck Norris is overrated. Putting out a... That's right, internet. Come get me.
Yeah, no, I think I've won because screw you guys.
I think I've won. I've got the power of Skynet and Hans Gruber and the Joker.
I think
you can do whatever you want. I'll just let the Joker loose, mate, behind your line. Skynet will keep you distracted. Nurse Ratchet will be keeping him hydrated.
The problem is you've picked. The problem is you're the only one who picked a leader who died in his film. That very definition means not a good leader, James.
And not only that, as much as I do love the Joker, the only reason he didn't die quite early on is because the Batman doesn't kill.
Yeah.
Else he would have just gone up to him and just shotgunned him in the face.
Well, you know, I themed my team. So, you know, if they were a real team, none of your people would fight together. Chuck Norris ain't going to take orders from no frigging, you know, rest of them.
What's his chops and...
Stunning. Stunning
right,
comeback.
Then. Right, so the bride's going to sit there and listen to Gandalf. Gandalf's going to be like, oh, we'll go see the end. So the bride will be just like, no, fuck off, son.
James with the swear words.
Well, this is unacceptable. He comes in here with his Logan.
Don't turn on me now.
Xena on a top.
All right, then.
Her thighs are made of steel.
I'll be honest, now we're into the podcast because we did plan this a week or so ago and we've had all this time to think about. We didn't think about how we're going to choose who wins because we all want to win.
Yeah.
We don't have an adjudicator here.
I'm willing to concede on the basis that I know that everyone will agree with me because there's some genius choices there.
There's some genius choices in mine.
Yeah, but it's not Gandalf the Grey, Chuck Norris and SpongeBob SquarePants, is it?
No, hold on. It's Skynet, Anton and Hans Gruber.
We could just keep repeating it all we like, but it's not going to choose.
This is exactly what you just did.
Well, Sharpie's just walked in, so we can ask him who he thinks win. Sharpie, who do you think's won? Sam.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Cheers, Sharpie.
Oh, there you go. That's over then. This is decided. Oh, wait a minute. A magical
fairy. He's got
a
really high-pitched voice, hasn't he?
Right.
Wait, what's that? Gandalf the Grey's just come in.
We're well ahead of ourselves.
The digits of doom win.
We're well ahead of ourselves because we plan to go for an hour and we've only just touched the 40-minute mark. So we've got loads of time left to debate this. Let's go to the scenario sheet then. Okay. Yeah? So we've all had a brief look at this. What I'll do is, James, as you're reading them out, I'm just going to randomly assign numbers to him, and then Sam can pick a number 1 to 6, and then that'll be the chosen decider.
Yeah? Okay, so fill this space with some information, James.
Okay, so scenario...
No. We're reading them out.
I'm reading them out.
Yeah, James can read them out.
Okay. I'm reading them out, and he's assigned numbers, and you pick a number, yeah. Sam. So...
And I've copyrighted all these ideas.
Okay. Your weekend camping trip with the lads is cut short when your Rebel Alliance squad is sent to Hoth to prevent an imminent invasion on Echo Base. To prevent an orbital bombardment on the planet, you must protect the main power generators from incoming AT-AT attacks whilst riding Tantan's bareback. This is called the Empire Strikes Brokeback.
Yes, it is. Option one.
So that's one. The second, your platoon is sent behind enemy lines to find Private Jeff Goldblum, whose three brothers have been killed in combat by heroic T-Rex. Surrounded by the brutal realities of war, and while searching for Jeff, each member of your team embarks upon a personal journey and discovers their own strength to triumph over an uncertain future. What do you think this one's called, Sam?
Saving Jurassic Jeff.
It's called Saving Jurassic Jeff.
I would watch that.
I'd watch all of these.
Yeah.
When two con men planned to rob the McAllister residence, they had no idea that bratty 8-year-old Kevin McAllister had rigged the gaff like a true Vietnam War vet.
Aye.
The con men call in your squad to break into the house, disarm the traps, and to stop an illegal cockfighting ring which has started since his parents have been in Paris. Killing is not permitted on this mission. This scenario is called Home Alone 4, Child Neglect.
Yes. And to be honest, to set up a cockfighting ring in 3 days is pretty good
for an 8-year-old. Yeah. That is good guy.
To be fair, I think Kevin McAllister now would be a bad guy. In the distant future, Earth is at war with a race of giant alien insects. Little is known about the bugs except they are intent on the eradication of all human life. A mobile infantry of laxative addicts travel to the distant alien planets to take the war to the bugs and to take in some of the sites. They are a ruthless enemy with only one mission, survival of their species no matter what the cost. This scenario is called Starship Poopers 3, a gap year.
Exactly. Can you imagine the holiday snaps from that?
I imagine it would be really awkward getting them developed.
You wouldn't want to sit on that flight, would you?
Sorry, this is my favourite one. A whip-cracking, intrepid explorer hires you to rescue his father, a medievalist who has vanished while searching for the Holy Grail. Following clues in the old man's notebook, your team, Von Trapp United, arrives in Switzerland, but you are not the only ones on the trail. Beware, as some sinister old enemies come out of the woodwork. This scenario is called Indiana Jones and the Sound of Music.
Yeah. Splicing two classics. I mean, completely original idea.
I don't know how I'm going to survive this one without laughing my ass off.
If this does not make it into a film, then I'm quitting this podcast now.
Deal.
All right. Sorry.
You're not going to take it serious, James. I want to do this again.
Whilst wizarding around Burma.
Damn straight.
Dumbledore actor Michael Gambon is taken hostage by a local guerrilla outfit known as the Voldemorts. Luckily for your team, there is a shady American veteran posing as a riverboat captain who will take you up the river for a butterbeer and a box of Bertie Bott's beans. Your mission, save Gambo and leave no survivors. This scenario is called Gambo First Mudblood.
Gambo First Mudblood is a genius idea. I'll admit, you shouldn't really laugh at your own jokes, but I was laughing at work today printing that off. Tell a lie, actually. At work, when I was printing these off, I sent them to print and I sat there staring at my computer like in the office thinking, why haven't they come out? I leaned across. I was like, what printer's in this room? Like 21. I was like, oh, crap. I've just sent it to printer 18.
Was it that bloke? Is it in the office? That someone, bloke you high-fived?
Someone in the office has just got that list of films.
quickly, copyright it.
Oh, I nearly gave away. Right, Sam, pick a number 1 to 6, and I'll tell you which scenario it is.
4.
Right. Oh, James, I'm sorry. When two con men planned to rob the McAllister residence, they had no idea that a bright 8-year-old Kevin McAllister had rigged the gaff like a true Vietnam War vet. The con men calling your squad to break in the house, disarm the traps, stop an illegal cockfighting ring before his parents get back from Paris. Killing is not permitted. So it doesn't matter who you've got. You're not allowed to kill anyone. Sam is pointing his finger. I think he's going for the win.
Can I start this? Mm. So if I just go through my people and how they're going to suck at this one and then you guys can battle it out. Because, right, Winston Wolf, he will come up with a great plan and I'll stop it all. Marv, he's going to kill everyone. Shuri, she's not really got much to do there, has she? Wesley Gibson, going to kill everyone. Charlie Wax is going to kill everyone. And Poe Dameron, you can't drop water from an X-Wing inside a house.
Yeah, you can. You can drop it outside the house.
Well, yeah, but...
I think you're saying...
I'm afraid I am conceding this one, that's because my boys are going to kill, aren't they? They're going to kill.
Well, I mean, when you look at my list, I mean, mine is pretty much... Gandalf the Grey is like a children entertainer anyway, you know, wizard. You're like an 8-year-old birthday boy.
But this is an 8-year-old that likes cockfighting.
I'd like to warn you, sell a cockfighting, mate. This isn't going to be an easy fight.
Well, that's where John Norris comes in.
Okay.
And then also, I've got SpongeBob SquarePants on my team, who's catered for the 8-year-old audience, and I would like to think that I won the Battle Royale because I picked SpongeBob SquarePants.
Okay. James.
Okay, James, explain why your team wins.
Sans Guru would come up with a plan. So unless Kevin McAllister's estranged wife is somehow staying over the night, you know, it's possible. He'll come up with a plan and execute it and go through. I don't think Onatop's going to help me out that much because, you know, trees and rope are going to be in abundance around there. Right, so Anton, with his cow, he will be able to take out locks quite silently and quite quickly.
He could get in the house quite
quickly. Yeah. So I'm thinking he'd be good there. I think I'd have to get rid of the Joker because there's a good sign that. Yeah, I don't think that'll work out well. I think once we go in there, we'll find out that he's actually betting on the cockfights. So he's too wild.
He's also rigged the house to blow up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
Too wild, mate. You went too wild.
Nurse Ratchet.
Who needs a medic?
You know, but you know, it's possible that he's dehydrated inside the house. And because she's in a nurse's uniform, lulls him into a false sense of security. She's like, I'm here to help you. Because he did call the police in the first film. I doubt he'd do it in this scenario because of all the illegal stuff that he's doing.
So it's down to Nurse Ratchet and SpongeBob.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Because you're forgetting about my gold star, my top player, Skynet. Because, now let me get this. In the world that we live in now, everything's connected to the internet, including thermostats.
What year did...
It doesn't say that year.
What year did Home Alone come out?
At no point does it say in here what year it is.
What year was you crying at it?
Is that why you picked it?
Yeah. If your argument is that Javier Bardem can break into a kid's house and I've got Luke Skywalker with a lightsaber and that argument doesn't come into it, that's fine.
No. Let me finish the point.
Okay.
So say everything's connected. Say it now. Everything's connected. Skynet can hack in there, make it quite balmy, make it quite warm, you know, turn the taps on.
I have a wizard. Yeah.
And I've got something that can hack the toilet so it starts speaking French.
So do I. A wizard.
I will bore Kevin McAllister out of that house. I'll make it very sweaty. He won't know what's going on. I'll keep randomly opening and closing his doors. Skynet, mate. Skynet will win this. Although that said, the last time Skynet tried to take our 8-year-old, it didn't work.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I think you shook yourself there.
Oh, Jesus.
Maybe I should say the last time 6 grown naked people tried to abduct a child. Hopefully it didn't work either.
Yeah, that goes against you, mate. The naked.
Yeah, I know I should have put up clothes on them. I do you know what? I'm beyond bothered. Do you want it? You can have it if you want it.
Yes.
No, I'm sorry, you've won that one.
Yes!
No!
Two,
yes.
One.
You get to pick. You picked two. Me!
No, I take it back. Wizards! My first win.
So for the record, we're not allowed superheroes.
No.
But we're allowed fucking wizards.
They are different things. Different things, James.
I'm going to get Skynet in every time we play this game, I'm going to throw Skynet in there. Skynet will once get an 8-year-old out of an house by making it balmy. You have my word.
I'll take the victory then.
Yeah, so I think you deserve that one, mate. And wow. You did win on SpongeBob.
I'm so glad I put 10 minutes into thinking of those answers. And didn't come up with a team name or anything.
It's kind of a waste of time making that logo, wasn't it, really?
I did spend frigging ages on my team. Knew I should have picked Predator.
Yeah. Well, good stuff.
So after all that, you win, mate.
Yeah, nice battle royale, boys.
What did you win?
That donut that's on the side.
Yeah, that's fair.
We've got a spare donut in the kitchen, so I love that. Oh. I'll post a picture of the donut and then people can look at it.
Okay.
Good.
And that brings us back to movies. What's your favourite donut from a movie?
Oh, I don't know.
No, I don't.
I tell you what, The Simpsons always made their donuts look quite nice for quick drawings.
Yeah.
I actually kind of want that donut now. But you've won it fair and square. SpongeBob has denied me a donut.
Again.
For the win. Each and every episode, we kind of round up the episode because we are coming up to the hour. We've still got about 10 minutes left, but we start looking at films that we immortalised by putting them in the vault. So that's our kind of top 100 list so far. We've got quite a few entries. Sam, just read a few out.
We've got 10 so far. Big Lebowski, Apollo 13, Big, Saving Private Ryan, Thor Ragnarok, Night of the Living Dead, Shaun of the Dead, 7, LA Confidential, and See No Evil, Hear No Evil. I've watched 3 of this film, off this list, this week.
Oh, good man.
I thought you were going somewhere different. I thought we all had to watch
Yeah, yeah, so the rule to make the vote is all 3 of us need to watch them, but you've watched them again. Which ones did you watch this week?
I watched Big Lebowski twice. I watched Saving Private Ryan, and I watched LA Confidential last night.
It's been a good week then. Mm. I think now, more than ever, to put The Dark Knight in there. Since we've brought it up 2 or 3 times.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
It gets
mentioned all the time, doesn't it? Right, it's in The Dark Knight.
Yeah, what a film. And no doubt we'll do a Nolan or maybe even a Batman trilogy kind of podcast at some point.
It's going to have to be a DC one, isn't it?
Yeah. Is there any... Has this brought to light any films or any characters from films that you think, God, that's a stinker of a film? Let's put it in the... So the opposite to The Vault would be... first off is Snorlax Hole. So that is the place where we throw bad films that they're not worth your time or effort to watch. Sorry if they're anyone's favourite films. Yeah. And then contrary to that, we have Sam's Hole, which is the place where things do not come back from.
They go to die.
They go to die in Sam's Hole. And we will try our best never to talk about them on the podcast ever again. Anything then that jumps to mind from these characters we've talked about that might have been in films of which deserve to go in that Snorlax pit?
No, not on mine. I mean, I wouldn't like to put the STD in my hole, if I'm honest.
No, I picked some good movies this week. And there's one thing I would like to say. Did you say you've never seen No Country for Old Men?
Yes.
You need to watch that.
Yeah.
That's a brilliant film. It's like There Will Be Blood. Those back-to-back years of just having great movies.
I was just looking because I watched loads of films this week and wrote them down, but there isn't a single one in there I'd put in there either.
What did you watch this week?
Is there anything that blew your mind away?
I watched Shawshank Redemption finally.
Oh, you never seen that before?
I mentioned it in the first podcast and forgot the name, didn't I?
Oh, well, I like Shawshank Redemption. I think it's a brilliant film.
Yeah, I like that film.
What's that? Justice League. I'll go to that in a minute. Mission Impossible 1, 2, and 3. Wanted. The Place Beyond the Pines, which was good. Lebowski twice. Saving Private Ryan. In fact, I watched Saving Private Ryan, followed by Inglourious Basterds, followed by LA Confidential in one night.
Good.
That's we nice. Should say something on nights this week.
Yeah.
So and, you've had a lot of time, haven't you?
And a little bit of controversy. I watched the original Mad Max and did not enjoy it one bit.
Which one?
The original Mad Max.
So the first one?
Yes. Did not enjoy it.
It's not really post-apocalyptic though by that stage, is it?
I said that. Yeah,
yeah, I didn't because I didn't know anything about it.
It's the second one that's kind of post-apocalyptic.
Between the first and second, there's a real quantum leap.
I need to watch the second one then because I was expecting it to be like Fury Road because I'd only seen it.
Yeah, was it the dubbed version of Mad Max 1? Because they brought it out with Mel Gibson's voice is dubbed with an American.
Don't know.
Because at the time, we had the more kind of prominent Australian accent.
To be fair, the whole film seemed dubbed.
Yeah, so it could have been the dubbed version. Yeah. Yeah.
It was when they didn't have that much trust in Mel Gibson. So,
well, he's coming out. I mean, that film was like, what, 79?
Yeah.
I quite enjoyed Mad Max. The final 10 minutes is the best bit of the film.
I was going to say, I like the first two. The third ones.
Oh, the Thunderdome one with Tina Turner is just dreadful.
It's not great.
I watched some Kevin Smith as well. Oh, I watched An Evening With and Too Fat for 40.
That's a whole night then.
Well, to be fair, I mean, that's 9 hours long.
Yeah. I watched on Netflix, Zach and Miri Make a Porno. I always forget that he directed that.
That's one of his better ones, that.
I do like that.
That was his attempt at making a lot of money and it didn't quite pan out for him, did it?
No.
No, he's got good cast in it, though.
He's got great cast. And I thought
I always like Craig Robinson.
Craig Robinson's hilarious. I mean, Seth Rogen's good in most things that he does as well. Mm. You've had a real busy week. I watched many films this week. I watched Kubo and the Two Strings, which I loved. Honestly,
I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah, I got it real early on Saturday morning. I put it on at like 5:45 in the morning because I just got up and I was like, oh, you know, like this heat we're having and stuff. And I was like, oh, I was just going to get up and watch a film. Went downstairs and it was the first thing that pops up on our TV. And I love animation. And I think back to that first episode when we were doing our top 10, and I thought, why don't we have an animation category? Because animation, I think, is a real wonderful medium of film.
And
I love things like Coraline and, you know, which was kind of my top one. But Kubo and Two Strings is made by the same people who did Coraline. They did The Box Trolls. Just a real, real fascinating story. The voice casting in this. It's funny because whenever you see an animation and they say who directed it, or who did the voice in it, and really it should be, you know, doing the press tour, it should be the animators. Because, God, it takes like a full day. They accumulate about 3 seconds worth of footage.
So it's stop motion, isn't it?
Stop motion animation that Kubo is, yeah.
Seriously? That's a brilliant art form.
Yeah,
that's...
and I mean, it's a lot more advanced now. And at the end of Kubo and Two Strings, you get to see some of the editing at the end of it as the cast is going up. But if you look back today's when they did like Nightmare Before Christmas, they were saying in that they could be doing all the scenes all day, and then someone could knock the light, and of course it changes the shading, so they have to start all over again. I mean, now they've got kind of rigs and frames and stuff all set up. But it's a brilliant cast. Now Matthew McConaughey's in it, and he plays a samurai beetle. And he's funny in every scene that he does. He's really, really laugh out loud funny. Charlize Theron is in it. Ray Fiennes does the voice of the bad guy. It's just a great, great watch if you get a chance. It's a kid's film, but I think it would scare a lot of kids. There's a couple of dark scenes in it.
Yeah, I might bang on tonight.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Yeah, and I put it up on Facebook and a few people straight away said, oh, yeah, that's a definite.
Well, most people said it was in the top 50 films, didn't they?
Mm. Yeah. We round up every week with the What's In My Box, but before that, we had some correspondence because we've been doing a weekly thing talking about the best combo, food and movie combo. The bar was set really high last week when, was it James?
It was Shep.
Shep came out with tacos in the film Goon as a combination. But we've had quite a good hit this week. What have we got?
Yeah, we've got a few. Fergal, pup, chili and heat.
There's a pun there.
Yeah, why wouldn't you? Mm. And the next one is also a pun from Stu Taylor, pizza and Goodfellas.
Nice.
And the next one, baggy, pork, sausage party and hot dogs.
Nice.
I don't think anyone took this serious.
Bit of a cannibal.
Tom Green, any film with hot dogs and nachos.
That's,
because he's greedy, he says, which is...
You've got to pick a film, though. No. Yeah.
The rest of them are just any
film. Boo,
films.
Tom. Boo to you.
The rest of them are just any film, really. Chips, put pizza in any film, which I suppose. Tierney Hill, put Baskin Robbins and a weepy film, not Home Alone, James.
What a... All right, then. Let's whilst we're talking about films, The Greatest Debate, salt or sweet? Salt, obviously.
Salt.
Sweet.
Joe, seriously?
No.
Let the great debate begin. Not now.
Some other time. And the last one was Matthew Curtis, who put sweets, salted popcorn, ice blast, and didn't say a film.
Oh. So maybe one of them is a film.
Should we pick a film for him?
What was his combo?
It was sweets, salted popcorn, and ice blast.
Oh, that sounds like a Michael Bay combo, that does.
Do you know what I was thinking? That
it sounds like a Transformers 9, why are we still making this?
Yeah.
All right, so so that sweet salt popcorn.
We've got Baskin Robbins in the UK.
Hey,
we got Baskin Robbins in the UK.
There's, yeah, sure. There is one.
Is there?
There's definitely one in London, isn't it? Just right outside the King's Cross.
There's got to be a few, because there's a few Taco Bells, isn't there?
Yeah, no,
just completely random. They're opening a Taco Bell in Milton Keynes. That's a shout out to Emma.
Does she work there?
No, she just won't be shut going on about it.
All right. All right, cool.
Yeah, so that's what we've got this week.
Great
so
stuff.
It was either a pun or no one mentioned a film.
Did anyone mention a film?
Other Heat, Goodfellas, and
what a film, Heat. Yeah. What a
it's
film.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, and Goodfellas, good film as well. Yeah. Right, as I'm saying these words out loud, if I say them really slowly, we will hit the 1 hour mark on the podcast, but we had the intro as well. So let's round up the episode as we always do by Sam puts his hand in my box. Because in my box is all my cinema tickets since 2012. You're going to pull a ticket out. You're going to give us a little bit of info about the film. And James and I will see if we can remember anything about it, anything fascinating or worth talking about, and whether or not it makes the list or the holes.
Okay. And out the box, we've got...
Wait. So, Sam, what's in the box?
Well, James, on the 24th of September, 2007...
Oh, it's an old ticket.
Oh, yeah.
Row E, seat 7, screen 9.
UNC, Row E's quite close.
310 to Yuma.
310 to Yuma.
Oh, I like 310 to Yuma.
Never seen it, so it's on YouTube.
It was a remake with Christian Bale and Russell Crowe in it, and it is about Christian Bale's character. He's an amputee, isn't he?
He is an amputee.
He's an amputee. That
he's got to get into a building.
Yeah, he's not the Rock amputee.
He's got to get into a building. Then he's got to get out of it.
It's a Western. Let's set the scene. He's a Western who gets given the challenge of escorting Russell Crowe's character to the 310 to Yuma. Yuma is the prison where Russell Crowe's character is going to be
home. Isn't it the last train? It's the only train that day as well.
Yeah.
And there's only a very select time they can do it. And Russell Crowe's gang are trying to free him. But also, there's a gang trying to kill him, isn't there?
Yeah. Christian Bell is a farmer. There's a bit of a drought. He needs money for his family. He gets tasked with the impossible, which is to escort Russell Crowe across the I don't know where it is, what county it's in, but to get him to this train and on that train, which will take him to prison to be hung or trialed and so forth. And as James was saying, there's his gang trying to rescue him, but there's also rival gangs and others that are trying to kill him as well. And Christian Bale is thrown in this impossible situation. It's a really good film. I think it was a 15 because it is quite graphic. There's obviously some quite serious gunfights in it towards the end of the movie.
Russell Crowe is fantastic in that film.
It's what I like,
and I'm not
Crowe.
A huge Russell Crowe fan, but this is one of the few performances where I think he knocks it out of the park.
Yeah, and he's got that really good thing that, you know, a bad guy thing, where he's actually charming, which makes him a worse bad guy. You know, in the scenes where him and Christian Bale are kind of walking, talking together.
Those are some of the better scenes. I remember a scene around a campfire, tell me if I'm wrong, isn't there a scene around a campfire and they're just talking about life? And I remember being really good, because Christian Bale has to take his son with him. He's got a relationship with his son about providing for his family. And that's a good dynamic. I remember that being very good as well.
He's trying to be a role model for his kids. And but at the same time, he's trying to bring this money in. And that campfire scene is particularly good because they share a pot of beans together, which is the campfire.
That's nice.
It's what you do, isn't it? A pot of beans.
Nice.
And one of the characters in it, the guy who went on to play Little John in the Russell Crowe Robin Hood film, he's in it and he sings this song about, you know, you're hanging in the morning kind of thing. And, you know, he's like singing it to Russell Crowe as the campfire goes out. And then when Christian Bale wakes up the next day, Russell Crowe's on top of him, stabbing his neck with a spoon.
Yes.
And it's the most graphic scene in the film. But then what happens is towards the end, there's this real shift in dynamics where it's almost like Russell Crowe admires Christian Bale's spirit because he's outnumbered, outgunned. It's an impossible mission.
And he's doing the right thing,
isn't
he?
He's almost trying to help him get him to the train because he admires this effort. You know, there is a scene where someone pulls a gun on Christian Bale and Russell Crowe shoots the guy, even though Christian Bale is trying to get him on the train to his ultimate death. And it's this really weird respect that the two have for each other towards the end of the movie. It's a great film.
Yeah, it's one you've been trying to get me to watch for a while, James, isn't it?
Yeah, it's part of it was that time when Westerns were coming to an end. They don't make Western films anymore. And again, it was just a really good story and really good acting. And it was in that weird bit where Christian Bale was like the hottest thing.
Yeah, he started coming out with just hit after hit.
And this was around the time he did The Machinist and things like that. Well, it was probably a bit before then, but this was when he was on fire or at the beginnings of it.
Yeah, this was before he did Terminator Salvation.
Yeah, basically that's when the fire ended.
Yeah.
This is what I was thinking. Yeah. No Skynet in that film.
Really good film. And like I said, it's a remake. And I've always been fascinated to go back to the original to watch that, because I imagine it was nowhere near as...
Do you know when that was?
I think it's a 50s, 40s or 50s right, okay. Western, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I imagine it had nowhere near the kind of intensity and kind
of... I really want to watch a Western, though.
I'm never in the mood to watch a Western.
No, me neither. I'm forgiven. Never been a fan.
No, I like... There are Westerns that I love. You know, I love a lot of the Clint Eastwood stuff. But I'm never in the mood. I'm never like, oh, I'll put on a Western. It's, I don't know. It just gets overlooked, really, for me.
Yeah. Like I say, he's a genre that ended, and his films like that, they give it a good send-off.
Yeah.
And 3:10 to Humorous, I'd recommend it.
I would recommend it. I probably wouldn't put it in the 100 because there's obviously that is the top 100 that we're looking for. But it's definitely one to recommend and to watch and to keep your eyes out for.
Okay. Yeah, completely agree with you. Mm. But we started this podcast with one bit of news, and we never added it to the vault. And I think it's universally Bigsby Bear.
Bigsby Bear.
Bigsby Bear is not in the vault.
It's going in the vault, though.
And it's going in the vault.
Yeah.
Now, can I just ask, because I don't want to correct you, but isn't it Bigsby Bear, not Brigsby?
Yeah.
Bigsby just for a write down.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm. Bigsby Bear.
Bigsby Bear's in.
Good.
Good stuff.
That's not a bad shot. Don't mind Bigsby Bear in one
I week. Don't think Bigsby Bear will ever come out. I think Bigsby Bear is a near perfect film.
And it had Luke Skywalker in it.
It did.
There you go.
Yeah, it did. And Greg Kinnear. And everyone loves Greg Kinnear. Any themes for next week?
No, I can't think of one.
We're now up to date because now we record at the end of the week. At the start of the week, and we put these out on a Friday. So every time you hear one of these now, we should be literally, it's coming off the back of the recording. So. There's no funny timeline at the moment, so we'll get together next week to do the next one.
I know it's a bit of a last minute thing, but why don't we bang some in on Facebook? Let our audience decide what to do on.
Yeah, we'll put something out there. Then an interesting topic. We'll put that out now as we finish, and we'll call it by Wednesday because that'll give us enough time.
Because
we're recording the next one on Friday, aren't we?
Yeah.
Or any movies that they think we should watch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll put the call out and we'll see what happens.
Fantastic.
Great stuff. So that's the end of episode 5. We've shortened this one down. This is, I think it's just over the hour and 5-ish.
So happy days.
Great. Thanks for listening. If I don't see you later, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. James?
I won the first Hungry Games.
I didn't. Bye.
I won the best. Wizards!